Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the newsline, and stay tuned to us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla calls on Indonesian Red Cross PMI to treat people fairly. Commander of Indonesian National Military to deploy more officers in handling forest and land forest. Denmark's support waste management into electricity. Now the news in detail. Vice President, who also served as chairman of the Indonesian Red Cross PMI, Yusuf Kalla, calls on all officials and volunteers of the Indonesian Red Cross to help people equally based on the principle of humanity, regardless of their nationalities, religions, and race. It was remarked by Yusuf Kalla after inaugurating ethics councils and officers of the South, West, and Southeast Sulawesi offices of the Indonesian Red Cross. Yusuf Kalla said that one of the commitments of PMI to contributing for the society equally is by establishing the PMI hospital in Myanmar, located in the area of Muslim and Buddhist groups. Yusuf Kalla also encourages all officers and volunteers of the Indonesian Red Cross to responsively act in helping people when disaster occurs in Indonesia, even though these volunteers do not get paid. Indonesian National Military TNI Marshal Hadi Cahyanto said that his side would deploy and add more officers to monitor the hotspots and coordinate the extinguishing of the land and forest fire in Riau. The equipment to extinguish hotspots would be operated nearby the location of the fire. Marshal Hadi Cahyanto in Riau on Sunday, February 24, in his press release as received by Republika Online in Jakarta, said that TNI would add more personnel to secure the area where fire may potentially happen, including prepare water pump operators who are capable of extinguishing peatlands until the deeper soil surveys. Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya Bakar, opened the mass cleanup activity on the coast of Sendang, Sikucing, Kendal, Central Java. The event, which was held to commemorate the National Waste Care Day, was carried out in 8 cities across Indonesia, namely Kendal, Tegal, Brebes, Pemalang, Batang, Rembang, Jepara, and Kebumen on Sunday, February 24. After attending the event, Minister Siti Nurbaya continued her visit to Jatibarang landfill in a bid to implement the waste-to-energy program. Minister Siti Nurbaya explained that the Danish government support the program by providing the Indonesian government with a fund worth $40 million to cultivate waste into electricity.
Apa yang penting dari apel di sini hari ini, ini TPA Jatibarang.
The important point of our visit to Jatibarang landfill today is that Jatibarang is one of the landfills in Indonesia which we have been trying to improve. There are 55% of the total landfills in Indonesia spread in more than 500 regions and cities. The waste-to-energy program at Jatibarang landfill received funding from the Danish government worth $40 million to convert waste in electricity. Therefore, we will keep improving the program. we realized that Jatibarang landfill comprising 57 hectares can be improved. Representative of the Danish Embassy in Indonesia, Martin Holm van Dong, said that the Danish government supports all activities related to environment in Indonesia, particularly in Semarang, so that Semarang could be an example for other cities in Indonesia. The Indonesian government also targets to reduce 30% of the total waste, handling 70% of the existing total waste, and managing 70% of the waste in 2025. The target to reduce 30% waste reflects the importance of the 3R, or reduce, reuse, and recycle systems for the waste management in Indonesia. The Balian Valley on the Jayawijaya Mountain, Papua, and the Komodo Island in West Manggarai Regency, the westernmost point of Flores Island, were the two top destinations which amazed the visitors of the Danish travel show Ferry for Ali in Herning, Denmark, from February 22 to 23, 2019. The travel fair is the largest tourism expo in Scandinavia. Based on the report of the Indonesian ambassador to Denmark, M. Ibnu Said, to Antara News Agency on Sunday, February 24, the Indonesian pavilion, which was established at the event, aimed to promote alternative tourism destinations in Indonesia, other than Bali, by incorporating the beauty of nature and cultural heritages of Indonesia. According to Ibnu Said, some tourism destinations in Indonesia other than Bali are also well known among Danish people. Ambassador Ibnu Said pointed out that Indonesia is an archipelagic country consisting of more than 17,000 islands. Indonesia offers various tourism packages starting from ecotourism, maritime, art and culinary tourism, heritage villages, as well as modern shopping and entertainment centers in mega cities. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia of Riau Province representative encourages Indonesian traditional clothes, batik, and other products of Indonesian small-medium enterprises to penetrate international market because Indonesian products are thought to have capacity and potential to compete in the global market. The encouragement was shown through the implementation of the Melayu Fashion Festival and Small and Medium Enterprises Bazaar in Pekanbaru on Sunday, February 24. As reported by the National Radio News Agency KBRN, Deputy Chairman of Bank Indonesia Office in Riau, Irwan Mulawarman, said that Batik Riau has its own specialty that can attract consumers. So far, the national batik industry has succeeded in penetrating the global market. Irwan added that currently Indonesia has become the market leader of world batik's product, competing with Malaysia, China, and Singapore, which also produce batik. The Salak Festival 2019 in Sleman Regency has been officially held from February 22 to 25. Salak Festival 2019 aims to introduce one of the local products of Sleman Regency, special region of Yogyakarta, namely Salak. As quoted by Republika Online, the festival takes the theme of Salak Sleman Gumregah, or the revival of Salak. There are also a number of stands selling processed Salak products originally from Sleman. In addition to providing stands of Salak products, several competitions have been held to enliven the event, such as Salak Soap Cooking Competition, Salak Jingle Competition, Salak Snack Eating Competition, Coloring Competition, and Salak Arranging Competition. The Salak Sleman Festival 2019 was opened by Deputy Regent of Sleman, Sri Muslimatun. In her opening remark, Deputy Regent of Sleman appreciated the organizing committees for their initiative to promote Salak Pondoh.
Sri Musliatun said that the promotion of salak as a local product of Sleman must be supported by all elements. Salak is not only a local product that can support Indonesia's economy, but also improve the tourism sector of Sleman. The last item. A goal shot by the Indonesian national football team U22 M. Lutfi Kamal Baharsha marked the victory of the Indonesian national U22 football team 1-0 against Vietnam on the semi-final round of the ASEAN Football Federation U22 at the National Stadium of Phnom Penh in Cambodia on Sunday, February 24. The National Radio News Agency KBRN on Sunday, February 24, reported the goal shot by Lutfi secured a ticket for the Indonesian team to pass through the final round against Thailand. The final round between Indonesia and Thailand will be held on Tuesday, February 26. Listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Vice President Yusuf Kalla calls on Indonesian Red Cross PMI to treat people fairly. Commander of Indonesian National Military to deploy more officers in handling forest and land forest. Denmark support waste management into electricity. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Thinking Clearly, the Grant of 2019 Holiday Allowance. Even though it's still in February, the government has announced about the grant of 2019 Holiday Allowance. The Minister of Finance has even confirmed that the Holiday Allowance for the state civil apparatus will be paid in May 2019 in accordance with the plan. Based on written information on Saturday, the Minister of Finance said that the holiday allowance would be given before Eid al-Fitr arrives. The reason is an affected working day. The year's Eid al-Fitr holiday will start from June 1st to 7th. Thus, the effective working day for the holiday allowance payment is in May. For this reason, the Minister of Finance has encouraged the government to create a regulation from the Ministry of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform as the institution that initiates the holiday allowance grant. The Minister of Finance hopes that the government's regulation will be in place before 2019 general election are held on April 17th. As a competitor in the 2019 general election, of course, the government's announcement is criticized by the presidential candidate national winning body, BPN-02, Prabowo Subianto, Sandiaga Uno. They consider that President Joko Widodo intentionally announces the plan a bit to win the votes in the presidential election. Actually, they agreed that in May it's the right time for the holiday allowance or the third salary to be disbursed. But what they could not accept is that there is strong willingness that the regulation related to the grant of 2019 holiday allowance could be set before presidential election. Meanwhile, Jokowi Mahrud Amin's national campaign team asked the Prabowo camp not to always relate everything with politics. The national winning team of candidate PR-01 affirmed that Jokowi is committed to paying attention to the people's welfare. It fades faster, of course, it is better. Consequently, the state civil apparatus can prepare for the feast early. Accusing each other does not really need to happen if both parties think clearly the upcoming presidential election. Isn't choice a personal right? Voters will freely vote for any candidates who are good according to their hearts. Of course, there is something more important than just questioning the announcement of the holiday allowance that is considered faster. It would be fine if the two sides discussed how to make this year's the grant of 2019 holiday allowance not to be followed by price hike, especially the price of staple foods. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we continue to the next segment. Today in History, in which we will give you information about historical events happened on 25th of February. Our regular program today in history starts from an event on February 25, 1964, when Muhammad Ali gained a heavyweight boxing title. Muhammad Ali, who was born as Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr., is a legendary boxer from the United States. He won heavyweight boxing title at TKO at 7th round against Sonny Liston in Florida, the United States. Liston suffered a neck injury which made him stop from the tournament. Ali is the first boxer who became winner of heavyweight world boxing for 3 times. The next event is that in 1987, Corazon Aquino was installed as the new president of the Philippines to end 20 years of Ferdinand Marcos government. Maria Corazon Sumulong Cojuangco Aquino, or well known as Curry Aquino, was president of the Philippines within 1986 to 1992. She was the first Asian woman who appeared as president in the world. This woman is a figure's wife from the opposition who is popular, Senator Benigno Aquino Jr. Her husband was killed when landing at Manila International Airport, the time he returned to his country on August 21, 1983. Cory Aquino's opposition was recommended to oppose autocratic power that was conducted by President Ferdinand Marcos. On February 25, 1986, Corazon Aquino was inaugurated as the new president of the Philippines to end 20 years of Ferdinand Marcos' government. The last event is that in 1991, Warsaw Treaty was disbanded. The Warsaw Treaty was a military alliance of Eastern Bloc countries in East Europe, which intended to organize itself on possible threats from the NATO. The establishment of the Warsaw Treaty was triggered by integration of West Germany into NATO through ratification of Paris Agreement. The Warsaw Treaty was designed by Nikita Khrushchev in 1955 and signed in Warsaw on May 14, 1955. On February 25, 1991, it was announced that the treaty was disbanded through a meeting of defense and foreign affairs ministers of 6 member countries which were left in Hungary. That was Today in History.
Thank you.
Listener, that was the first song entitled Jangan Pernah Pergi, sung by Alexa. You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Today's edition, we will give you information on My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's nice to meet you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. But the title of today's is Indonesia Export Mangosteen to China Directly. Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman on Thursday sent off mangosteen export from Sukabumi, West Java to China. The export marks the first direct export of Indonesian commodity to China without transiting in other countries. The value of the export of the 92 tons of mangosteen reaches 2.76 billion rupiah. The leave-taking of the export was conducted at the event called Appreciation of Agriculture Ministry toward the Food Security Performance in Sukabumi Regency in a bid to support Indonesia to become the food supplier 2045. On the occasion, Minister Amran explained that Indonesia is the exporter of mangosteen and it ranks the fifth as the producer of mangosteen after India, China, Kenya, and Thailand. Around 25% of the mangosteen product is exported to several countries such as China, Hong Kong, Singapore, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, USA, Australia, France, and Netherlands. Based on data of Central City Agency BPS, the export volume of mangosteen in 2018 reached almost 39,000 tons and the number increased 325% compared to the number in 2019, which only reached 9,000 tons. Minister Amran Sulaiman said that the rider export is expected to facilitate the export of Indonesian products and improve the welfare of Indonesian farmers. He also affirmed that agriculture sector comprises not only paddy and corn, but also 460 other kinds of agriculture commodities. In boosting the performance of the export, the government is attempting to support the biggest center of mangosteen in West Java, West Sumatra, East Java, Bali, West Nusa Tenggara, and Banten in a bid to ensure the quality of mangosteen and the farming registration. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Sebentar lagi satu jam saja. Izinkan aku merasa, rasa itu pernah ada. Esok akan lagi satu jam saja hingga ku rasa bahagia mengakhiri segalanya.
So that was the second song entitled Satu Jam Saja, sung by Audi. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, for the next segment, we'll present you a segment called Indonesian Wonder, in which we will give you information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom. Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Molana Island in Maluku. Molana Island is located at Saparua District, Central Maluku Regency in Maluku Province. The island is coral island, which is sticking out to the surface of the sea and becomes beautiful land. White sand, which is outspread at the north of the seashore of the island, has its uniqueness, because it moves in accordance with wine season. Take for example, at the season of east wind, sandy beach exists at the west, while at the season of west wind, sandy beach moves to the east. The massive movement of the sand is presumed to happen because the grains of the sand of Molana Island are very smooth. Molana Island, which is the uninhabited island, has around 160 hectares wide. Molana Island has been well known since the Portuguese colonial era. On the island, there is the ruin of the hospital, which was built in the Dutch colonial era, and its construction was destroyed when the Japanese occupied it. Besides historical tourism, Molana Island also provides marine tourism with undersea beauty. The most popular diving spot on the island is the north and southeast, because there is undersea cave which is connected with a well on the middle of the island. Molana Island is part of Lee's Islands in Maluku. The easy way to go to the island is by asking ship crew to pick you up at Ambon Airport. If you want to go by speedboat to Haira from Patimura Ambon Airport, you should go before 7 o'clock a.m. Before the airport, you can take taxi to Tulehu Seaport around 45 minutes. Thus, you buy ferry ticket to Haira. Ferry from Tulehu usually departs around 9 a.m. every day. From Haira, you can go by speedboat to Molan Island around 20 minutes. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today's edition. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kau percayakan hatimu padaku, walaupun ku lelaki biasa. Tak pernah sekalipun kau meragukan diriku. Meski begitu berat langkah kita, kau tetap di sampingku. Hingga hari tuaku, hingga redup cahayaku, semua kulakukan untukmu. Kita kan bersama habiskan usia menaklukkan dunia. Jika habis nafasku, ku pergi lebih dulu. Ingatlah semua tentang kita. Kenanglah diri sebaikku mengenangmu. Meski begitu berat langkah kita, kau tetap di sampingku. Hingga hari tuaku, hingga redup cahayaku, semua kulakukan untukmu. Kita kan bersama habiskan usia menaklukkan dunia. Jika habis nafasku, ku pergi lebih dulu. Ingatlah semua tentang kita. Kenanglah diriku sebaikku
Listener, you have just listened to the third song entitled Hingga Hari Tua by Angie. For the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we will give you and introduce you some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we will also invite you to speak in Indonesian language. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Fostering Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is membuat janji or making appointment. Next is a conversation about membuat janji, or in English, making appointment. Tony is at the hotel. Heru, Tony's friend who lives in Yogyakarta, calls Tony and wants to see him.
Halo.
Halo, Tony. Besok bisa bertemu?
Tentu. Jam berapa?
Jam 4 sore setelah bekerja.
Oh iya, bisa.
Baik, sampai bertemu besok ya.
Iya, sampai besok.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Bisakah bertemu besok? Bisakah bertemu besok? In English, can we meet tomorrow? Tentu. Jam berapa? Tentu. Jam berapa? In English, sure. And what time? Jam 4 sore setelah bekerja. Jam 4 sore setelah bekerja. In English, at 4 p.m. after office hours. Ya, bisa. Ya, bisa. Alright. Sampai bertemu besok. Sampai bertemu besok. In English, see you tomorrow. To make appointment to meet a friend, you can ask him or her by saying besok bisa bertemu or bisa bertemu besok. In English, can we meet tomorrow? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Halo.
Halo, Tony. Besok bisa bertemu?
Tentu. Jam berapa?
Jam 4 sore setelah bekerja.
Oh, iya, bisa.
Baik, sampai bertemu besok ya.
Iya, sampai besok.
Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
berganti, namun kau tetap di sini. Berbagi semua kisah, canda tawa serta ceria, air mata dalam duka, kita masih bersama. Rajut mimpi-mimpi indah menghias dunia, kita berjanji. Rahasia kita senantiasa berjalan dengan senyuman. Berbagi semua kisah, canda tawa serta ceria, air mata
listener, that was our folk song entitled Sahabat Sejati, sung by Andin. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, we will give you information about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present you a song titled Pamit. The song tells about someone who has to leave the beloved lover. It is not his or her desire, but a compelling reality since the lover has turned to someone else. This song was created by an Indonesian maestro Gesang and sung by Bruri Pesolima, or better known as Bruri Marantika. This song has also dedicated in a pop version and Kroncong pop genre. Well, listener, here is Bruri Marantika with the song Pamit. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Terus tanpa henti, dan dia pun kini telah pergi. ku berdoa di tengah indah dunia. Ku berdoa untuk dia yang ku rindukan. Mohon untuk tetap tinggal selimut di tengah dingin dunia, berselimut dengan dia yang ku rindukan. Would it be nice to hold you? Would it be nice? Jangan engkau pergi lagi, bernyanyilah na 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 na, bernyanyilah untuk dia yang ku rindukan. Would it be nice to take you home? Would it be nice to kiss you? Would it be nice to hold you? Would it be nice to take you home?
Listener, thank you for listening to our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwaves on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestions and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send us your email to voi@voinews.id.